So the flight attendant comes over to the PA, says, "We're in our final descent into Maui. Get ready to land." And I couldn't help myself. There was a honeymooning couple in front of us. They were on their first trip to Maui ever. Some lady had been telling them for the whole trip, "Yeah, Maui's okay, but really you need to get to Kauai." They'd been planning on visiting Kauai for a couple of days, they said, but their plan was mostly to be in Maui, and she just said, "Well, Maui's okay." And after listening to this anti-Maui lady for the whole trip, they were considering ditching their time in Maui and going over to Kauai. I could not help myself. I took my napkin, which was the only piece of paper I had. I quickly wrote 10 things on it. I tapped the guy on the shoulder. I handed him the napkin that I'd written my list on. I said, "My wife and I have been here a couple times. We've also been to Kauai. The lady was right. Kauai is nice, but there are great, great things to do on Maui." The guy said, "Like what?" And I briefly explained each of the items on the list that he was holding. Linda added some color commentary to what I was saying. They listened intently, both the guy and the girl. They asked some questions, and I stopped when I was satisfied that they at least had a sense of the island's greatness. And the guy thanked me, and the girl said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." She said, "We were really hoping that Maui would be good. That's really where we were planning on being this whole time." She asked if she could keep the napkin. I said, "With our best wishes, absolutely. We'll come back to that." Today's sermon comes from the letters that are found on the third bookcase in your New Testament. And my goal is to help you know what those letters are, why those letters are, and how they are helpful. So the ones at the beginning of the bookcase are the longest: Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Romans is a 16-page letter that Paul wrote to a group of Christians, people following Jesus in Rome. 1 Corinthians is a different 16-page letter that Paul wrote to a group of people following Jesus in Corinth. And 2 Corinthians is another letter that Paul had to send to that same group, 13 more pages, to those people who are following Jesus in Corinth, because I don't know if you know this, but sometimes people don't understand exactly what they're reading. Like the guy from Czechoslovakia who came to the United States and went to the DMV to get a driver's license. And they asked him if he could read the bottom line of the eye chart on the wall, which said, "SCZYBLVANSKI. And the man from Czechoslovakia just kept staring at it. And the DMV worker said, "Well, can you read it or not?" And he said, "Read it, I know the guy." The church in Corinth read Paul's first letter and they go, "Yeah, read it, we know the guy." But they didn't. They didn't know what Paul meant when he wrote to them the first time. Not even close. Totally got it wrong. Word got back to Paul about what was going on in Corinth, and he penned 2 Corinthians to help them out again. After those first three longer letters come three short letters that Paul wrote: Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They were written to groups of Christians, you might guess, in the region of Galatia, in the city of Ephesus, in the city of Philippi, and in the little town of Colossae. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I remember back in Bible school when we were trying to memorize all the books of the Bible, some kids were using mnemonic tricks. You know, mnemonic tricks like Roy G. Biv, or Every Good Boy Does Fine, or My Very Excellent Mother Just Served Us Nasty Pizza, or however you want to remember those things. Mnemonic is where you remember something harder than if you would have just memorized the right thing in the first place. Anyway, so we were doing some mnemonic things to try to remember, and we went with God eats popcorn. Because he probably does, right? And God eats popcorn is G-E-P-C. God eats popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Am I helping you or not? Each letter here is between 4 and 6 pages. Mostly the first half of the letter is Paul explaining God's view on life, and then the second half of the letter is where Paul tells how that applies to life. The first part of each letter that Paul writes here is about what's so, and the second part of each letter is about so what. So that's Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's 7 of the 21 letters on this bookcase. Then we get to the 5 books in the New Testament that all start with the letter T, which is so helpful. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. They go in alphabetical order, which is so helpful. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. Timothy and Titus were two young preachers that Paul was mentoring. He'd left each of them with a couple of churches that they were trying to help lead, and Paul sent letters back to his protégés to advise them on how to lead a church well. So those are very helpful. The Thessalonians were people who were following Jesus who lived in the town of Thessalonica. I always felt sorry for cheerleaders who grew up in that town. Can you imagine at their football games when they started cheer, "Give me a T, Give me an H. Give me an E. Give me an S. Give me another S. Give me a... It would take the whole first quarter of the game just to spell out the team's name. Thessalonica, go. But all the T's go together in the New Testament. Alphabetical order. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, 1st Titus. So that's Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. That's 12 of the 21 letters. Sometimes these are called the epistles, which contrary to popular opinion, epistles are not the wives of the apostles. The word epistle is just an old word for letter or message or what you put in an envelope and mail or what you put in your phone and send, an epistle. The next letters on your bookcase in your Bible are Philemon, Hebrews, and James. Philemon is only a one-page letter. There's only one page. It could be written on a postcard. But we learn a lot by reading this one page. Philemon, can I call him Phil? Phil was a guy that Paul told about Jesus. And Phil said, wow, I want to follow him. So Paul baptized Phil, and Phil loved Paul to pieces because Jesus saved Phil, but Paul introduced them. So Phil felt like he owed Paul his life for that introduction. He really loved him. He gave him he took care of him. Then Paul left town. Now, Phil owned slaves, as did most people back then. And one of Phil's slaves ran away. And that slave happened to end up in the same town that Paul ended up in. And Paul started telling that slave about Jesus. And the slave said, wow, I'd like to follow him. So Paul baptized that slave. And then he sent him back to Phil with a note saying, hey, Phil, here's your slave. Well, he left your slave. He's returning to you, your brother. Paul said, so Philemon, I want you to treat this guy like you would treat me if I came to stay at your house again, which I will. That's an interesting take on slavery. What if those who own slaves would treat slaves like they would treat the person they most respected in the world? That's an interesting take on slavery. What if those who were slaves would treat those who owned them like they were working for a beloved brother? I wonder what would happen to slavery if people on both sides of that deal thought like this. I'm guessing they'd probably after a while realize that slavery, one person owning another, isn't really in line with God's intent for people. Probably after a while, people following Jesus would come to a place where slavery would be ended. Oh, wait, that happened. In England, William Wilberforce and John Newton realized what the letter of Philemon means. In America, because our founding fathers realized, because Abraham Lincoln realized, because Christians realized, that's what's so in these letters in the New Testament, leading to the so what of not anymore for slavery. We can learn a lot in these letters. These letters, read and understood and applied, could change the world for good. Hebrews is a letter explaining to followers of Jesus with a Jewish heritage that while Jewishness is great, it was just a stepping stone to Jesus, who's greater. And then there's James, who's the half-brother of Jesus. He wrote five pages of good stuff to Christians everywhere. All the letters now up to James have been written by Paul. He wrote stuff to individuals or groups of individuals. James is the first letter that we have that's not written by Paul, but there are more coming up. So we've got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrew, James. And then comes 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and Jude. Peter, you remember Peter? He's the disciple who walked on water with Jesus one night. John, who wrote three letters here. John is the disciple that Jesus loved the most. Out of everybody, they all agreed. Jesus and John were BFFs. And Jude is another one of Jesus' half-brothers, the son of Joseph and Mary, who wrote some good stuff for Christians trying to follow Jesus. And those are the 21 letters that make up the seventh bookcase in your Bible. It's kind of more of a mailbox than a bookcase. These letters were occasionally written to individuals, usually written to a group of people, a church in a town somewhere. Sometimes they were written to several churches for them to read and then pass on to other churches nearby. They were written to people learning to do life with Jesus as their personal trainer. They were written by guys that Jesus had taught. They were written with Jesus' permission, with his authority. Have you ever seen a red letter edition of the Bible? Red letter, have you heard of that? It's where it's a regular Bible, except that all the words that Jesus says are in red. So if you flip through the Bible, you can instantly see what Jesus said. That's red. Point is, the reason that they sell these kinds of Bibles, point is that what Jesus said is really important. I mean, it's all good, the whole Bible's good, but the really good stuff is what Jesus said himself. And I don't really have any problem with that. Well, wait, I actually do have a problem with that. While I appreciate their attempt to highlight what Jesus said, the truth is Jesus said that what his guys would say was from him. It would carry his authority. Anything that his guys would say from then on was kind of like him talking. So if we're going to mark the words of Jesus in red, then all of the letters from Romans to Jude, these 21 letters, when read, should all be red. Do you see what I did there? It's like the guy who said he went suddenly colorblind. Suddenly colorblind. He didn't see that coming at all. He said it came right out of the purple. So, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. That's what they are. Why are they? Because the Bible is telling a story about lost people getting found and coming back home. And the first five books of your Bible, the law tells us how we got lost. And the next 12 books of your Bible, history shows how God set up a rescue. And then there are five books of poetry, which are songs of what it's going to be like when we're rescued. And then there are 17 books of prophecy, promising that God's plan is still happening, even though it might not feel like that. And who they should look for when they get there, that's the Old Testament, 39 books, all pointing us towards a nation who would one day produce a hero who could save us all. Then we have the four books of Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, telling us the crazy story of our hero's arrival and his life, and his death, and his burial, and resurrection. And then we have the book of history we call Acts, introducing us to the greatest thing in life, which is the chance to be part of that group that is rescued, to be part of Jesus' church. But being the church, living under the tutelage of God's hero, that's so different. It's challenging. Sometimes it's difficult. Much of following him is opposite of how we were, totally opposite of how we were doing life before. It's new. It's great, but it's new. And that's why there are 21 letters to help us do the new, to show us what's important, to reveal stumbling blocks in our way, to point us to a way that's better. That's what those 21 books in your Bible are for. Not everyone sees it that way. Not everyone sees that, though. To an interviewer, Bill Maher, do you know Bill Maher? He once said, quote, "You said something about how we have to respect people's beliefs. I know that's what we always hear. We have to respect. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't respect religion." He said, "I don't respect superstitious thinking," which is what religion is, childish. He said, "We've talked about this before. This whole gay issue wouldn't even be an issue, except it says it in the Bible. The Bible, that book that has people live to be 900 years old. And says that the world, 6,000 years old. And that there are people who lived in a whale. That infallible work of genius, and that slavery's okay, and you should stone a guy to death if he works on Sunday. That book that says, sorry, no queers. So I'm sorry," he said. "I don't respect people who believe in religion." Maher said, "I was religious when I was a kid. We all had dumb stuff drilled into our heads, but it doesn't mean when you get to be an adult, you can't drill it out." And he's right about that. He's exactly right. You can take things that you thought when you were young, and you can decide later that they were absolutely not helpful. And you can replace your old thoughts with new thoughts. That's what these 21 letters are all about. Replacing wrong thinking that we have with God's thinking. Replacing ideas that you got that got you lost with newfound goodness. Taking the stuff that you've bet your life on so far and tossing it in favor of Jesus' training. Following what's in these letters, knowing what's in these letters, reading and doing what's in these letters can change your life. I got a text from my nephew in Uganda this morning. Here's what Ian wrote. He said, "Jesus made Uganda beautiful, and he's given me so much to enjoy and marvel at." He said, "I'm amazed how far he's brought me geographically and spiritually from where I was just a year ago. He said, "We taught the kids about creation this morning, and it was a great reminder that God created everything for the express purpose of bringing glory to the name above all names, Jesus." Ian said, "I pray everyone lives that truth and finds their fulfillment in that." He said, "I've tried everything else, and this is the only thing that works." Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude, all written to encourage you in your attempt to be who Jesus made you to be. Life-affirming, life-changing, life-giving letters. They're full of goodness written by guys who discovered life can be so much better when we listen to Jesus. We're talking about letters today. One of the best letters I ever saw was from a Wyoming farm kid at basic training. Let me read it to you. It says, "Dear Ma, Pa, and Pa, I am good. Hope you are too. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer that basic training beats working for old man Minch by a mile. Tell him to join up quick before all the spots get taken. I was kind of restless here at first because we have to stay in bed until 6 a.m., but I'm starting to like sleeping late every morning. Tell Walter and Elmer, all you got to do before breakfast is smooth your cot and shine stuff. No hogs to slop, feed to pitch, wood to split, fire to start, pert near nothing. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like juice and cereal and eggs and bacon, but kind of weak on chops and taters and ham and steak and beans and pie and regular food. But tell Walt and Elmer you can always sit between two city boys that just drink coffee, and their food plus your food holds you till noon when they feed you again." Letter says, "We go on marches, which the drill sergeant says are long walks to toughen us up. A march is about as far as to our mailbox at home. And then we ride back in a truck. The sarge is like a school teacher. He nags some. The next will kill Walt and Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. Bullseye's near as big as a chipmunk's head, and it don't move. And it ain't shooting at you like the Higgett boys at home. All you do is lie there comfortable and hit it. Then we do what they call hand-to-hand combat. You get to wrestle with them city boys. I have to be real careful, though. They break easy. I'm about the best they got, except for old Tug Jordan from over in Silver Lake. He joined up same time as me, but I'm only 5'6", 130 pounds, and he's 6'8", 300 pounds dry. Well, be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry up and join before others hear about how easy this place is and come stampeding in. Signed, your loving daughter, Betsy." Knowing who's writing a letter can make a big difference in how you read the letter. So who wrote these 21 letters? Guys Jesus had taught how to do life. Guys who had been personally hand-trained in the art of living by God's promised hero. Who are they? They are Jesus's guys who have lived through the worst and love life the most. And they wrote down Jesus's secrets for living in 21 letters that you have in your Bible. How about that? I went into a store last week. I followed a mom who was not wearing a mask and a daughter who was wearing a mask, which confused me because last I knew, everybody had to wear them all the time. So I stopped at the door and I looked for the sign that says everybody has to, but there was no sign there. So I walked in and looked around, and most people in the store weren't wearing a mask, which looked weird to me because I've only seen people wearing masks. So I went to the customer service desk where there were two employees, one masked and one not masked. And I said, excuse me, what are your rules about wearing a mask? And the lady wearing a mask said, you can't ask that question. I said, pardon me? She said, you're not supposed to ask that. I said, how then am I supposed to know what the rules are? The other lady, the unmasked lady, said, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to. I said, are you vaccinated? She said, you're not allowed to ask that. I said, so all these people in here with no masks on are fully vaccinated? She said, I don't know. I said, shouldn't you? She said, we're not allowed to ask. I said, so how can you know if people in this place are safe or not? She said, we can't. I said, shouldn't you? She shrugged. I said, okay, I mean, theoretically, we're talking about transmission of a life and death virus, and you're doing it by the honor system? And the first lady said, we're not allowed to ask. I said, why are you wearing a mask? And she's not. She said, you're not allowed to ask. I said, so if I'm vaccinated, I don't have to wear a mask, but if I don't wear a mask, you're not going to ask me if I'm vaccinated. She said, you got it. I said, kind of confusing. She said, you're telling me. What are the rules? Have you ever felt like the world you live in has gone bizarro world? Has stuff in your life ever felt like there were no good answers to everything that ails you? Have you ever felt like you would trade an arm and a leg for something, anything solid? I have just the thing. In fact, I've got 21 of them. Letters from guys who interned under the tutelage of the greatest man who's ever done life. And they wrote down stuff that can help you live life like he says works best. How is that not great? It's like sitting in an airplane and being handed a napkin full of the best things that you can do while living on this planet. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude. How can we not know these? 21 letters full of the best things that you can do while living in the kingdom of God. Find them, read them, figure them out, do them, and live life.